Good Ranchers delivers 100% American meat straight to your door. Every cut is sourced from local U.S. farms and ranches, and the entire packaging and fulfillment process takes place right here in America before it's delivered to your doorstep. No imports, ever. Just high quality, 100% American beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood. I'm a subscriber, and my plan is incredibly easy to manage. Traveling? Need to skip a delivery? You can pause, move, or adjust your order anytime in just a few clicks. Right now, when you start your plan, you'll get free meat in every box for life, plus $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use code RANCH25 to start your Good Ranchers plan today.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. So everyone is obsessed with Love is Blind on Netflix, and that includes me and my daughter. We are huge fans, and this season, like everyone else, we are rooting for today's guest to find love. Izzy Zapata emerged as a standout amongst this year's cast. He was genuine, open, and I think we can all agree, emotional. Izzy's journey might not have ended the way he originally planned, but he has no hard feelings. He still believes in the experiment that is Love is Blind. He gave us the inside scoop on what we didn't see on camera, his private conversations with producers, and what he really thinks about the whole Lydia Uche connection. We also discuss his new girlfriend, and the fact that they got matching tattoos. Izzy loved his experience on the show, and we loved talking about it. So sit back and listen to Izzy Zapata. Hey, Izzy, I'm so happy that you're here with us on Misunderstood today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, all right, season 5 is over of Love is Blind. The reunion is over. I just quickly want to touch on how you even got cast on the show.
It was crazy. I actually didn't even apply for it. I was working out on my lunch break one day, and I had got like a phone call from an LA number. I immediately ignored it. I thought it was like a telemarketer. So I called immediately right after that. I ignored it again. Then I got a text message like, hey, this is so-and-so, you know, casting producer for a show called Love is Blind. I don't know if you've heard of it, but we'd love to, you know, do you have 15 minutes to chat? So I was like, no way. This is totally a scam. And so I was like, you know what? Let's see. Why not? So I call, and yeah, sure enough, it was this lady was casting, and she was like, add me on Instagram right now so you can see I'm real. Added her, and she was like, yeah, I would love to, you know, do like a recorded, you know, audition for you. And yeah, the rest is history from there. I went along. I honestly didn't even think I was going to make the show.
What was the audition process like? Like, how many people do you think they were choosing between?
Oh,
and then
man,
you kind of beat them out?
I mean, it's Houston. Houston's huge. I mean, I really don't even know the number, but I know I started back in like September of 2021, and we weren't even leaving to film till April. And even then, they didn't even give me the green light until probably about like 3 weeks before we were about to leave out for filming. And the only reason I knew, I kind of had an idea that I was going to be on the show, because I never had a passport. And I called them, and so I was like, hey, you know, I've done everything, but I honestly don't think you guys are going to have I'm not going to get my passport in time. They're like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, just go ahead, go with the picture. And sure enough, I ended up having my passport in like 2 or 3 days. And so I was like, all right, they didn't go out of their way for me to get it expedited this fast for no reason. So yeah. And then I want to say about 2 days after that, 3 days after that, I got my welcome letter and an email, and yeah, the rest is history.
So had you seen the show before? Did you know what you were getting yourself into?
Yeah, I've seen about like 2 seasons. I want to say the first 2 seasons before. So once I actually was getting, you know, through the process of casting and all that, that's when I really started watching the rest of them. So yeah, I definitely knew what I was getting in for.
And what was your mindset going into the show? Like, were you ready to get married the reason why I ask you that is because, I mean, it's an obvious question, but I want to phrase it like this. Like, a lot of people are fed up or tired at a certain point because they've dated so much and it hasn't worked out. And they're like, I'll do anything now. I'll try something new because it hasn't worked. Like, I'm 48 and I'm still single, right? And I'm tired and I want to know where he is. Like, where's the guy, right?
Yeah.
So like, for me, I would do a show like that because I'm tired of like all the other attempts I've made that haven't worked. So that seems reasonable that I could find love. But where were you in your mind up until that point?
So I actually hadn't been engaged once when I was like 26. And then that failed. She ended up cheating on me. So marriage for me is like a dream, you know? When I date with intent. So I had about 2 years after that to just do a lot of self-work. I even did premarital counseling. But my dating perspective had changed to where I became a lot more direct. So I hopped on dating apps and things like that. But I just came like more direct when I would go out with dates with girls. Like, it's the first date. I'm like, you know, yeah, I can do the surface level questions, but I'm diving deep into like your relationship history and, you know, like the things that you've gone through, your trauma through relationships, what do you need out of a relationship? Are you even looking for a serious relationship or is it just casual? And for some girls that can like really scare them off to be, because nobody wants to just commit nowadays. That's the biggest thing I've noticed in the dating world. Nobody wants to commit. They want the luxury of having that person around and, you know, the benefits of, you know, sex or having, you know, just having somebody there. And I'm looking to kind of get straight more to the point. And so having the show pop up as an opportunity, I was kind of torn between two, like, I was like, ah, it's a TV show. You see it, like, is it real? That's what everyone always thinks. Like, ah, is it real? Is it scripted? But then the other half of me was like, this is really cool because you take away all the superficial stuff and every single person that's there is dating with the end goal of marriage. So it's perfect for me, who's someone who's very direct and to the point. So I was definitely ready for it.
Right. So the first day I hear you go in and you get to meet all 15 or however many women kind of briefly, right? And then you have to kind of narrow it down right off the bat to 8 or something like that.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. It's like 8, the next day 6, and it keeps going as the days go.
So from the very beginning, did you know you had a connection with both Johnny and Stacy? Because that's who we saw your biggest connections with. Was there someone else?
So day one, immediately, Johnny was my third date of the day. And immediately when I went, I was like, yeah, you're my number one. She was locked in. I dated all the girls. It was crazy because Stacy at the end of that day, like I talked to her, she was cool. But I think she was like my number 8 that day. And I was like, oh, you know, she's cool. But if I don't talk to her again, like no big deal. But I knew immediately Johnny, she was my connection, like the very first one and was a standout for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so we all kind of have seen the show. I mean, obviously you're here because, and people are listening because I've seen it. So I don't want to recap the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when you, you know, got to that point that you had to choose between the two, looking back now, what would you say is the reason that you chose Stacy? Were you following patterns? Was it something more aloof about her, sexy about her? Were, I mean, what was it for you?
So this is what's crazy, what comes with the edit, and which I wish they would have showed more of. When you see Stacy and I's interactions, it looked very surface level and fun and flirty and stuff like that. But no one ever really got to see how that connection developed on a deeper level versus what you see with Johnny, it's all deep, you know? And so what it was for me when, what it did is like Stacy just kept surprising me every day and it gets getting stronger and stronger. So it was really fun, but she would have trouble being vulnerable. So once I got those walls to fall, it was like the fireworks just went off and it became more of a well-rounded. That was the only thing missing. Versus like with Johnny, it was just very, you know, just deep all the time, which is nice and I love, but there was never, you know, those fun, you know, moments in there, anything like that. But what did it for me, obviously Stacy's vulnerable side came out, so that made more sense. And then when it came to Johnny, you know, she would tell me she was in love with me so many times, but never really gave me a reason why. So it was just like, I don't know why, but I just am. So I was like, it doesn't make sense. And then what really just kind of did it for me was, and a lot of people think, is when she put that, told me the trauma about her ex who was an addict and passed away, people thought I got scared of it and ran away. But what happened was, you know, she told me she had that and she'd never been in love since. And she used her, she had ended up getting married, and she pretty much told me she used them as a rebound and ended up divorcing them about a couple of years down the road because she wasn't in love with them. So for me, that raised a red flag, because she said she's never been in love with somebody other than her ex who had passed. So it's like, I don't want to risk my heart, because how do I know you're not going to do that to me? And then on the top of that, you're telling me that you love me, but you don't know why. So
I get that. I mean, listen, yeah, as somebody who was watching it back, you know, I feel like for her, she really was, not that she's a love addict, but like she really wanted to find someone, right? She, mm-hmm, she was kind of pushing it. When it didn't work with you, she went back to Chris or whatever, right? So, mm-hmm, I feel like she really wanted to find that person, wanted to pick someone who was going to pick her. And that was pretty evident. But, you know, I will say trauma hits people differently. I've dealt with trauma in my past, and I got married soon after I did something very similar. And, mm-hmm, you know, you just to stick up for her for 2 seconds, I will say that when something like that happens, you feel like you just want something to stay. You just want something to stick and be like certain. Mm-hmm. And asking for a love story is like kind of unfathomable at that point, because you've just gone through so much trauma. So I got married to somebody after my fiance was killed and regretted it, and within a year was divorced. But I wanted to make it work, but my head was ready to marry someone else. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I got her. All right. So I'm curious about what the restrictions are from the time the show wraps to the reunion, because we know that you saw the cast, we know you've developed a girlfriend since, but like, how does that work? I'm so confused, because are you telling people you've been on the show? Do you sign something that says you can't be on the show? I mean, how does that work?
So obviously, we're on a contract. We're not supposed to disclose any of that information. So I really didn't disclose anything to anybody, other than obviously my friends who were there at my wedding and a few of my guests. You know, obviously they knew, but I really didn't reach a point to where I was close to anybody, close enough to be dating on a very serious level, until the current girlfriend that I have right now. Right. So yeah, and obviously I ran into that, you know, to Stacey at that cooking class. So I really had to tell her then, you know what I mean? So,
are you saying at that point she didn't really know the details of how she was an ex and an ex fiance? She didn't know it was from a show.
So she knew kind of like, you know, we were getting serious and going with dating with intent here. So I just kind of wanted to let her know, like, hey, before this goes any further and we pursue anything, like, I just want to let you know I will be coming out on a show. And, you know, I don't know if that's something you want to deal with, because it's not for everybody. And yeah, so then when we got to that date, then I told her, I was like, that's my ex-fiance from the show. Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
So did they get along?
Yeah, everything went smooth. I mean, obviously it's a little awkward, but at that point we're on the date. Like, me and Stacey were good friends at that point. We already reconnected since we hadn't talked in a year, but I want to say about like 2 months before then, we had already reconnected. So it was just very unexpected to run into each other and to be at the same table on that date. But it was just a little awkward, but we made fun with it. And yeah, we ended up having a good time cooking paella. So it went smooth.
Is Stacey still with the same guy?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think so. I'm not too sure. To be honest, but I'm assuming so.
Okay. This episode is brought to you by Kitsch. I love beauty products. So does my daughter. Sometimes I literally have to hide them so she doesn't sneak in and steal them. We're obsessed with anything that is easy to use, has great results, and saves us money. And that's where Kitsch comes in. Kitsch is a game changer in the world of beauty and hair products. Kitsch is a female-founded company that started in 2010, and now they are carried in over 20,000 retail locations. They believe everyone deserves a little indulgence, no matter your budget, your skin type, or your hair type. I change my hair up constantly, which makes it hard to keep healthy, but Kitsch's heatless satin curling rollers help save your hair from heat damage. I know you've probably seen the Kitsch
satin pillowcase, cap, and eye mask line, which are great while you sleep. And also, I don't know if you've seen the Barbie by Kitsch collection. They have those satin pillowcases in the iconic Barbie pink. They're adorable. I actually have two. I love them. Also, another thing that I personally love is the rice water shampoo bars. It actually improves my overall hair growth and fullness. It strengthens it. It smooths out the frizz. It keeps the moisture levels balanced. I was really skeptical about changing up using shampoo and conditioner and using an actual bar. I didn't even know how it would work. But I will tell you that after the first use, my hair looked and felt great. And I've actually had friends of mine who've used the coupon come up to me and say they are never going back and they are constantly going to be getting the shampoo bars because it's changed their hair. Right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/understood. That's right. It's 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch. That's KITSCH.com/understood. One more time. It's mykitsch.com/understood for 30% off your order. Enjoy. I mean, I think again, as somebody who watched it and is heavily invested in the show, you know, there were moments that I turned and said to my 11-year-old daughter, who was also heavily invested in your journey, you know, we were like, oh my God, I'm going to cry for Izzy, because there were so many times where, and I want to ask you if you think this was edited or is this the situation where I feel like you did a lot to be a good partner and you were not met with that same kind of reciprocation. And again, it could have been for the show, it could have been what was edited, but it did seem like you were doing your part and what you were capable of doing in such a short amount of time. And there was a lot of like, but you're not doing anything for me. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, at times I did feel that way. Stacey did have my back in situations and would give me reassurance from time to time. I mean, you know, off camera kind of thing. Obviously, you know, I have my breakdowns or I freak out too. But yeah, like I kind of watching it back, like I do kind of feel, you know, a little bit that way. It was just a very discouraging feeling, that conversation we had after the barbecue. You know, it's just like, I am doing my best with what I can. And so, yeah, I mean, when you kind of saw that, that's why I had like the, I lost it. That's why I ended up just like going into the closet, because it was just like the pressure and the stress of filming, having to be strong for my fiance, who's also stressing and having meltdowns and everything. And then also trying to juggle my own emotions. Like I'm only human, you know, I can only do so much. And I think that point of feeling unappreciated, is really when I just kind of hit my breaking point.
Well, I mean, I sort of wanted to grab you and be like, you know, this isn't normal. Like, just because you have paper plates in your house or you don't have a side table or whatever, doesn't mean you're lesser than. There are plenty of people who live that way. And it's like, you're at a stage in your life where you can only go up. So that's really not a reason to, you know, not love someone. That's not a reason to, that is not a red flag. Like, I feel like I need to say that to you, because as a person who seems like just a really nice salt of the earth guy, like, I don't want anyone to take away from you that like, that's not normal. I didn't think that was a normal reaction. and I think it was really, for a lot of people who watched it, I think it was really cringeworthy, and people really were like, that's not okay. And for someone to call you a liar because of your, you know, you hadn't come out with your credit score yet, I also thought was a huge stretch. You know, it's like, you guys hadn't known each other that long, like only a certain amount of things can come out. And for her and her family, obviously that was a big deal. For you, it wasn't something that you led a conversation with. So I just, you know, I thought as a viewer, it was very uncomfortable. And I hope, you know, that's like, you shouldn't be defined by that.
I really appreciate that. Oh, okay. It is difficult to watch. I'm not gonna lie, like the last, especially getting towards that, you know, the last episodes, like I was very emotional watching them. It's a shitty feeling from the outside looking in, watching yourself go through pain, you know what I mean? But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I've kept my head up and I've realized that I've had a lot of support, like, you know, from awesome people like you and family and friends. And yes, I really appreciate that. So now I really just, you know, kind of tell myself, like, yeah, I am a good person and I will make a great husband someday.
You will. You will. Absolutely. So did you know ahead of time that she was going to say no?
She told me 2 days before the wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, which we had the finance conversation the night of our final date. We're at the Air Museum. The next day, we had to at night. The next day was our bachelor and bachelorette party. So we had to pack up. That's when we had to move out of the house or the apartment. And they made us have that finance conversation again. And so at that point, like, I didn't know. It was rocky. That was the first time I really felt I didn't feel confident in us, you know, getting the yes. Because before then, I felt like she was an absolute yes, you know, the whole way. Never, obviously we had issues, but I never felt like a big doubt or to where anything stood out for her to say no, until that. And so, yeah, we had to spend the 2 days apart after bachelor and bachelorette party that I wanted together. But it was like, yeah, it was like 2 days before she called me, she was out and I was out and she was like, hey, like, I'm home and I miss you and I kind of really want to see you. So in my head, I'm like, fuck yeah, like, I get to see you. This looks good. Maybe, you know, we are going to work out after all. So I just drop what I'm doing and I go straight over there and we're having, like, you know, really laying around in bed, just laughing. And I can't remember exactly how the conversation went, but it led to the point where she was just like, wait, like, I'm not saying yes to you. She was like, I can't. She's like, I'm not ready. And I was just like, what? I was devastated. I remember I just lost it. I didn't expect that. And so going into the wedding, you know, I knew she was going to say yes, but then obviously I let production know, like, hey, you know, I have a, she's probably going to say no. But they're like, hey, like, don't lose hope, keep fighting like you've always been. And he's like, because people on previous seasons were no's when they went in. Like Barnett was a no, I think, with Amber, and he changed his mind at the altar and was a yes. And I can't remember if it's Nick.
Are they still together, by the way? Do you know?
Yeah, they're still together. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so that's why I was like, you know what? You're right. So I just kind of like.
So refocused. You had hope. You were holding out hope for her to change her mind based on who you were up until the conversation about finances.
Correct. Yeah.
Good Ranchers delivers 100% American meat straight to your door. Every cut is sourced from local U.S. farms and ranches, and the entire packaging and fulfillment process takes place right here in America before it's delivered to your doorstep. No imports, ever. Just high-quality, 100% American beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood. I'm a subscriber, and my plan is incredibly easy to manage. Traveling? Need to skip a delivery? You can pause, move, or adjust your order anytime in just a few clicks. Right now, when you start your plan, you'll get free meat in every box for life, plus $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. Go to goodranchers.com and use code RANCH25 to start your Good Ranchers plan today.
Did you make any big plea of like, listen, there's only so much I could do because my credit score, I can only get better. Like I can only do, I'm gonna get a job. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing. I don't know why people keep thinking I wasn't employed. I was employed the whole time. Like that was like another big thing that happened with a little bit of a concern was I was on a 1099 because I was doing insurance versus like a W-2. And that was like, I feel like kind of like a stability thing for her. I think that she felt like, I don't know. But
that's crazy. I mean, it shouldn't necessarily matter what you do as long as you're really good at what you do. And you're young, you're still figuring it out. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you love someone, you want to build a life together. So I think, you know, it's like I asked you when you were coming into this, if you were open to meeting somebody and having love be blind, right? Mm. And falling for somebody, seems like you were into that. And then with her, and I don't know her, but it's just look from the outside looking in, it seems like there are criteria that she couldn't let go of. And her family seems to blame too. They couldn't let go of it, right? And they, you know, kind of rub off on her. I mean, I saw that she came out on her Instagram and she's like selling merch, a sweater that says sometimes love wants to buy first class. Like, I thought that was really gross. I actually took the time to look at the comments because everyone's like, oh, I'm here for it. I'm buying it. But I was like, that's obnoxious. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm not going to date the guy that lives with his mom and doesn't have a job and like all of that. But I'm not dating them because they're not motivated, not because, you know, that I will date somebody that's less off because if they're really good at something and trying. I mean, it just, I think that that was kind of a bad move on her part to capitalize on such a kind of gross behavior, my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, as far as for me, I guess now that I look at it, I find it funny. When her dad did have that conversation with me, it was just more so, and her family's amazing. Like, they were so sweet and receptive to me. And I think more so than that's the thing that I appreciated with him is that he just kept it real with me. So it wasn't like saying like my daughter needs to fly first class. I felt like he was just kind of implying like, hey, Stacy has like, you know, not, likes nice things, likes to do nice things. Just to kind of let you know.
Maybe
you know.
Warning you. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is like, what you're hey, in like, for. Again, you know, with like, no. Yeah. And not that one is worse than the other, but just being like, this is what you're in for. You might not know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it.
So, yeah. So as far as the merch thing, I mean, it doesn't bother me at this point. Again, I mean, you know, I don't, whatever happened in the past, as far as, you know, where we're at now, we're great friends and I support her. So.
Okay, yeah, good. Well, that's a testament because you're a good guy. That's why that's your response. A lot of people wouldn't feel that way. Let's talk about the reunion for a second. I had Uche on my show. He did not show up for the reunion. You know, it's very interesting to me. I posted a clip of Uche from being on my podcast and he collaborated. So it's on both of our feeds. This one clip has gotten over 500,000 views and the level of people comment for Uche is like the hatred and the misunderstanding, I think, of that guy is very interesting. Now, I'm coming from a perspective of someone who shared like an hour and a half with him that, you know, I don't know him beyond an hour and a half, but I listened to him and then I watched him, you know, go through what you went through. I thought the hatred was uncalled for. I thought it was kind of bizarre. But you tell me, what's your experience with Uche?
So obviously we, you know, we had that where I was hearing, you know, how he was saying things about me and things like that, which I didn't understand because with the guys, when we leave the show, you know, I felt like we all had a really good bond. I felt like our experience with the guys in the pod, we made it very clear to not really talk about who we're dating during the time until it got to the later days where it was like getting serious and closer to proposal, just so we wouldn't let our friendship affect our decision or vice versa, let the girls affect our friendship. And so that's what I appreciated. So we all left the pods on good terms. And, you know, Uche is great. He was the oldest, the wisest. He actually was giving a lot of advice to some of the guys. So I thought everything was great. And then it was like afterwards, you know, we were out and I was when I like the night I said bye to John, like I apologized to Johnny. Johnny was coming with me. You know, he's like, you're going to leave with that guy, you know, kind of thing. So I was just like, I didn't understand where that came from. And then just hearing it from other people from the cast. So I was like, wow. I was confused. I was like, I don't know. Like, I thought we were cool. I don't know what happened. I do something to you. And then when me and Rhea and Stacey reconnected again, a year later, we all went out for drinks. It was like me, Stacey, one more person in the cast, and Uche. And I walked to the bathroom, and then like Uche was still talking about me to Stacey in that moment. And Stacey told me, as I got back, like, hey, Uche's like talking about you. And I'm just like, what? Like, I didn't understand. So,
well, let me ask you a question. Were you able to listen to any of?
So, yeah, so there's more. So he saw my episode, my first episode with Nick, and he did reach out and he did apologize to me just because, you know, he only had one side and he was just only getting from what, you know, Johnny told him. And now, after he's like seen everything played out and like watched the show and heard some things that's gone off the show, he apologized and he was like, you know, I think you're a great guy and everything like that. So it's like, cool. Like, I didn't want any drama. I think he's amazing. I never had anything bad to say about him. That's why it caught me off guard when I did hear that. But he texted me apologized, like, everything's cool and everything's fine. As far as like what's happening with Olivia and all that stuff, like, I didn't even know any of this stuff. I didn't even know that in the pod. Like, I didn't even find that out. In the pod, I didn't know until it was actually going down at the barbecue. Mm-hmm. And even then at the barbecue, I'm just still like, my mind's over here with like the whole Stacey Johnny thing that like, I'm just sitting there. It was a very awkward moment to like be in the middle of somebody like fighting. So I really didn't know to really like judge off, you know, like whatever's going on here mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah. So I think he's getting a lot of like pushback about the fact that during that barbecue, he was like showing screenshots to Milton and getting into it with the girls. And I mean, again, just from hearing his perspective, I mean, a lot of the issues with you, he said, started from that night at the barbecue because it was more like what was going on between, you know, he was telling you guys a story. Stacey was getting involved. I mean, Stacey seems to be the common denominator in getting a lot of people in trouble or starting some drama, because it was more like Stacey was egging the whole thing on with Johnny. And then he saw how you were reacting based on Stacey's reaction towards Johnny. And he had never experienced that with you before. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you guys worked that all out. But what are your thoughts about Stacey's influence on you and kind of making you into somebody who was being a little more dramatic and maybe a little more mean than I think you would be?
So what happened with that scenario is I honestly wouldn't even have talked to Johnny that day. I was forced to talk to Johnny. Stacey had no influence on how I treated Johnny. She never told me anything. The things that I was hearing that were being said about me weren't even from Stacey. They were from other people on the cast. And then what she was saying about Stacey, and that's where a lot of people don't know. They think that I just immediately walked up to Johnny and just started attacking her. But the deal is like, I was over it. I was over Johnny. I'm with Stacey. But production's like, you need to go have a conversation with Johnny. So
well,
if
I get that.
To me, yeah.
I get that. But it almost seemed like it was Stacey that had the issue with Johnny because she wasn't over it. I mean, I think there was still a little jealousy about the fact that you almost picked her.
No, obviously that was done. And it was more so literally a day or two before the barbecue, we're finding out all this information of what Johnny is saying about us and what has said about us. There was even a point in time where she even tried to go after like Josh, Paige's fiance at the time, but their story didn't make the cut. You know what I mean? And then hearing like, you know, she was bashing Stacey's physical appearance, saying, you know, the stuff about my credit and all this stuff. So, I mean, it did upset us because, like, we weren't even there, you know, to defend ourselves or anything. So I think that's why, as far as for me, I had so much emotion bottled up. It didn't help that I was drinking, no excuse, but like that. And you're talking about my fiance. Stacey never told me or was feeding me anything like that. And that's something that I just want to make clear, that a lot of people are thinking that Stacey brought out the bad. I was responsible for my own actions that night. I did not act the best, and I take full responsibility of that, and I've learned from it. But she did not have an influence of that. It was just, we had found that information out literally 2 days before that barbecue.
So that animosity seemed to carry over through to the reunion, which I still found interesting because that was like a year later. You saw a lot of arguing or passive aggressiveness towards the two of them, a little bit of you involved. And then there was a lot of conversation about the Uche Lydia thing. Uche was not there to stand up for himself, give his side. And I think it was really evident that without him there, no one was having his back on his narrative. Everyone else seemed to be falling into Lydia's narrative. And I heard you even this morning on part two of your interview with Nick, that it seemed that you agree that you didn't think it went down the way he said it. And right. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So it's hard she hear, and then there's like Aaliyah's side also. So she tells like what she's saying about, you know, her experiences with it too. Trying to see Lydia's side, right? Like, it's a tough, like, I feel like I'm in Aaliyah's spot. I'm like, who do we trust here? You know, mm-hmm. like with that certain scenario. Lydia seems happy. She didn't seem like it was that big of a deal for her. The way Milton has described it, as in like, you know, he kept trying to push to, you know, show me these. And Milton was like, dude, I don't care. Like, that was y'all. I just, like, I don't need to see this. So if you look at it from both sides, I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. It's hard to determine that. And the part one was filmed of mine and Nick Vile's podcast was filmed like the day after reunion. This was like before okay. Uche and I, he had even texted me. So like my mindset at that time was like, okay, this kind of makes sense. Now I got to talk to Uche through text and see his side. Like at this point, I really don't know what to believe. That's a sticky situation.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, coming from someone that, again, watched it and has spoken to only Uche. And if I feel like I usually side with the woman, right? But it kind of doesn't matter. Like, I'm not trying to side with anyone, but it did seem like Lydia was fine at the reunion because she got what she wanted. She got a man to propose to her. She's engaged to somebody. Maybe they have a great relationship and that's terrific for her. So it worked out for her, but it also worked out that her ex, his relationship blew up. And so it kind of like seemed to me like that's why she was so happy. Like she didn't have to worry about her ex being with another girl that blew up and she's in a good spot. I'm not saying she actually has feelings for Uche or like would rather be with him. It's just, it seemed to work out in her favor. And I thought, you know, no wonder she's happy. I also didn't understand why, and I said this to Uche, why is Aaliyah like leaving because a girl saying to him, I used to date him. He has a car. He has a home. I mean, who cares? Like that made no sense to me why she would even get mad. If anything, it made me feel uncomfortable. Their relationship, the girls seemed very physical. It seemed very close. And you're on a show to meet a guy that you want to marry. So I don't understand why the fact that they had dated, clearly he had dated someone in the past. I mean, unfortunately it was the girl you've become friends with, but if anything, I would have been more pissed at Lydia because she knew this whole time and she was trying to befriend me, trying to hear my feelings about this dude. So to me, I thought that was really weird and uncomfortable. And I felt bad for Uche that his, you know, he made a real attempt to work it out with someone and she left because of the conversation she was having with Lydia, no longer trusted him. But I still didn't get that. I was like, why would you want to be with someone who leaves just because you hear you have a car and a home and some girl slept with you? I mean, that seemed kind of dumb.
I couldn't even, like, I feel bad for Aaliyah and Uche. I mean, regardless, like how all that happened. I mean, nobody asked for it. I think if I can,
and then recall, I think, sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to say, and then I could see why Uche spent the rest of the time being like, I need to prove that this ruined my time, right? Like I need to prove that Lydia came, she knew, and this has ruined everything. And I'm pissed. Like I got it. Like for you, Izzy, like think of a girl that you had dated a couple months before the show. Okay. I'm not going to ask you her name. Let's say her name is Jennifer. Pretend you are in the pods and Jennifer shows up and starts talking to you and was like, hey, want to try this again? And you're like, no, but I mean, you're here. So we're just going to pretend we don't know each other. How would you have reacted?
If somebody would have went off, like if she would have went off kind of thing, you know, stuff, like, I would have been a little bit pissed. I feel like that's the conversation where it's like, hey, we're mutual on this. Let's just like be adults, not, you know, say much about it and let's enjoy, you know, the experience kind of thing.
Right.
You see, like, I see that. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to, like, really know, and I'm not taking anybody's side on this. But then again, I don't know how the edit really was or how it was with the girls, like, over there. And if Lydia was just trying to be a good friend and, like, look out. I think during reunion, Lydia did say, like, I should have read the room, as in she overshared. And I think she realized that. So yeah, I would say that's probably the only part. Like, maybe I can see your side. You're being a good friend and just kind of letting her know. But I think she did, you know, mention that she did overshare a little too much information, going in depth of like the type of car he drove, the name of the dog, and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's really hard to tell because, like, yes, I put myself in Uche's spot and I would be pretty pissed off. And then I'm trying to see like Lydia's side and being a good friend. So. Yeah, that's
I mean, it's hard, and I guess we'll never know, but it's like, you know, it, unfortunately, you know, I think that two people didn't get to have an experience because of what happened, and that's a bummer, whether or not production knew. I do have one question. When you guys are being interviewed to come in, do you have to lay out, like, how you're worthy as a partner, kind of like, again, we got into the whole thing with your finances. I know there was another couple on the show where finances became a problem. He was edited out, she was edited out. But like, do they ask you if you get engaged, are you capable of being in a relationship because your finances are squared away? You have a job, you can literally move from a show to a real life relationship. Mm-hmm. Are they asking you about your finances?
So they, I mean, they do background checks on us. So they like see everything. Obviously they'll give, like, they make us fill out a bunch of stuff. You know, what we do, obviously we have to give them a title of what we do, because it's under our name when you see it, you know what I mean?
Okay.
They don't ask you specifically, can you provide for your partner? I think anyone, I feel like if you're going to do something like this, you should be able to provide for your partner, unless if that's the case, you shouldn't be going on this show.
Right.
You know what I mean? But specifically, no, that's not something they ask. They ask us more just like, you know, about ourselves, hobbies, our relationship history, you know, girls we've dated in the past, and, you know, pictures of that and stuff like that, to kind of get a feel for you. But I mean, I feel like they, I mean, with them running the background check, they can pretty much see everything. So,
Okay. Another big thing that's come out of Love is Blind is that there's been a lot of backlash about Nick and Vanessa. What was your relationship with them? How often were they actually involved?
As far as like in the filming, like in the pod, we only saw them once. And then when we had our suit fittings and stuff, that was a lot more intimate one-on-one time with Nick. And I know the girls got like that one-on-one interaction with Vanessa. Mm-hmm. As far as reunion, I feel like they did great. Like,
you did.
I didn't feel like they were taking anybody's side or anything like that. I thought it was, they were actually kind of funny on it. And so, yeah, I feel like they did a really good job this reunion. It wasn't, you know, in all the comments that were said before from like previous seasons, reunions or anything like that. I felt like they did a really good job.
Okay, good. And you felt like they were invested in your story, mm-hmm. in everyone's story, and were paying attention. They weren't just showing up to do a little emceeing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, they were definitely invested. And I felt like they were invested in everyone equally. Like, they weren't just taking somebody's side. Even if someone was in the wrong or didn't have a good moment, they didn't just throw that on you. They would always also see like, but hey, we did see that you did do this, you know, on the positive side kind of thing. So, which I appreciated, because I know some people on there could have gotten grilled for sure, but no, they were super sweet, super cool. And they were very fair.
Good. Glad to hear that. What's the reaction been of fans, or people that aren't fans, with your newfound fame?
Everyone's been super supportive and just really, you know, hope that I find love. I think everyone's finally seeing like the genuine side of me, and just like who I really am. And they've been super supportive. A lot of people were heartbroken for me. But everyone's been pretty, you know, pretty great. Obviously, I've gotten a lot of the backlash with the Johnny situation, but I mean, at the end of the day, it happened. I made a mistake. I learned from it. You know, I apologize to her. But like leaving that behind and moving forward, like everyone's been super supportive, and especially now with a new girlfriend, like everyone's super pumped for me. So it's been pretty cool.
I think that, you know, when she said no to you at the altar, that was really heartbreaking, because I think a lot of people were rooting for you. They thought that you were the couple out of the two couples that could make it, you know, and I also thought it was a little heartbreaking that it seemed that she had said so openly while she was standing in front of you, I love you so much. I don't want to lose you. I just can't marry you, which I think makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in reality, that makes a lot of sense. But if she really felt that way, I would have thought she would have continued your relationship. So it just made me feel like, you know, it was not, you know, she just was trying to get out of it. And that was really heartbreaking because you really see that no matter what, curveball she throws at you, no matter her attitude, her tone, you're always even keel and being really nice in retaliation as opposed to getting angry. And the only time you kind of blew up, you didn't even blow up. You went into the closet and cried. So it's kind of like you really come across, I think, all in all, very well. And I think everyone is rooting for you. And as you said, now we know that you do have a girlfriend. I think at the reunion, it was like iffy, maybe, you know, it was just something not too big of a deal. But in the last couple of days, we've seen that you guys have matching tattoos that are representing the night that you went on your first date. It sounds like, right? Because it says chef. Uh-huh. Yes, chef.
It says the yes, chef.
Explain what the tattoo means.
So our first date was a cooking class. And so her and I, we just have fun with it. Anything the chef would ask of us, you know, we do the yes, chef. We ever seen like bear? And so we just stuck with it. And then when her and I, we talk or ask for each other for anything, we're always like, yes, chef, to each other. So it just stuck. And so it was crazy because she flew out there to meet me for reunion after reunion. So the next day after reunion is when we got the tattoo. So I knew I was going to ask her to be my girlfriend. I hadn't asked her yet. But it happened days after that. So, but yeah,
so cute that you asked her to be your girlfriend, that it wasn't just like insinuated in your behaviors. That's sweet. Not many men do that anymore. Appreciate that about you, Izzy.
Yes, I am.
So how long have you guys been dating now?
Say about like a good 3 months now, seeing each other officially. I want to say probably about like 3 weeks, but we had been hanging out, getting to know each other for about 3 months.
Got it. And did she watch all the episodes with you?
Not with me. She watched the Mexico episodes with her friend, which I felt was okay. Mm-hmm. She did watch the wedding one with me, and she watched reunion with me. And then like the pods and everything else, she watched on her own. So it was tough. And honestly, I give her so much props. Because to be on the other side of it, I don't know how she did it, but she's kept her composure. If anything, she's kept me sane through everything. Mm-hmm. She's super supportive, super calm. And, you know, I know she didn't want to watch. I wanted her to watch just so she can see that, like, the type of man she will be getting when she does date me. Because I am that way with all my girlfriends. So that was kind of one reason I did want her to watch, but I understand like where she was coming from at the same time, but she did. She's glad it's all over. And, you know, she has me to herself now, and it's all good. That's great now.
Good. I love that. So after all of this, is there something you would change about how they do the show going forward? Now that you've watched all the seasons and you've partaken in one of them, is there a suggestion to make things work that you would do differently?
No, not really. I mean, obviously you've heard a bunch of allegations in the past of them not feeding us or not, or forcing us to drink or all that stuff. This is what I'll say. Number one, know what you're signing up for. Like, don't sign up for something and be a crybaby later on down the road. Reality TV is not for everybody. So if you can't hack it, don't do that for one. Two, they fed us. There was food all the time. If anything, I gained weight doing Love is Blind. And the alcohol is there whenever you want it, but no one encourages you to drink. Rob on the show does not drink alcohol. He never even drank once. They never even pressured him. As far as the sleep, I mean, we have the lounge. Use your time wisely. If you want to, if you're tired, take a nap. You can sleep in the pod. So, and they have a hotel room for us afterwards. So although I went through a heartbreak and emotional stress and everything like that, I would do the show again, because at the end of the day, I'm a hopeless romantic. And if I were single, it was the best way to date.
I love that. All right. So you believe in the show?
Yeah, it works. Like if you really put, like, submit yourself to it, it works.
Do you think that if this lasts between you and your girlfriend, you will ask Nick and Vanessa to get you on the ultimatum?
No way. I could never do that show. God. And I have a feeling that if I do propose to this girl, everything's going to go smooth and we're not going to need an ultimatum.
Okay, good. I love hearing that too. All right. Biggest question of the day. Have you gotten regular plates?
I have. I've gotten plates, silverware, everything, glass, glasses to drink out of.
Did you get a side table?
Yes, I got a nightstand too. Okay. And I've actually refurnished my entire apartment. I got all new furniture. I got rid of the Hobby Lobby decor, the live, laugh, love stuff.
I saw there was a big conspiracy theory that you were staying in renting it as an Airbnb because all that stuff looked like a girl had put that together.
Yeah, no, I actually did that all myself. That was like decor from, I want to say like 2017, 2018. And I just kind of brought it with me and I just left it up. I mean, I never would have people over to hang out during the day to really notice. It was always, as you can see, I have to, the drawer of the and found,
the lost
which
and
that's
found.
Gone, by the way.
Good.
But yeah, no, it was just old decor that I had up. Pinterest, fellas, it goes a long way. You don't know how to decorate. That's how I got that stuff up. And that's why it looks a little feminine.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. Well, again, not that there's anything wrong with it. You have your own style and you're very cute because of it. All right, Izzy, am I missing anything else that you want to talk about or get across?
Not really. No, pretty easy going.
All right. Well, so what are you doing now for work? What's going on in your life now?
I do insurance. I'm still doing the insurance. Yeah.
Okay.
I had left back to my old job. So originally I had did business sales for AT&T. I had did that for like 8 years, left that to do Love is Blind, but I left on good terms. So I knew I could come back. And plus I was just bored with it. I wanted a challenge, and like a more, what do they call it? Work-life balance. And so that's why I did the insurance. It was a better schedule. I could take time off. I wanted to start traveling and doing all that. Then I ended up going back to AT&T after Love is Blind, like a few months ago, but the insurance, I was doing so well at it. I just like stuck with that. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. But now just like maximizing with any opportunities that come with this. And
I saw it looks like on your Instagram, you're doing like barter deals or you're doing like, you know, going to a spa and promoting the spa and doing all that stuff. So.
Yeah,
welcome to fame, Izzy. Good luck with all that.
Thank you.
And no, I think the people watching really adore you. They wish the best for you. Everyone is rooting for you. Tell people where they can find you or, you know, follow your story.
So my Instagram is @IzzySabata_ and then at TikTok at @IzzySabata2.
Awesome. Izzy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.